Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
It's Make Money Mondays, and it's about, oh, what's it now, 19:38 as well. Then this evening we have the Managing Executive of Retail and Business Banking at Nedbank, Ciko Thomas, joining us on the line. Ciko, thank you so much for the time this evening. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday evening.
Good evening, guys, and thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, fantastic, man. So, I mean, if I just look through and browse through, if I was to start, just your qualifications, for example, all the things you've kind of done. I mean, you know, you have 10 years service. That's what, just at Nedbank, for example. I mean, I've spent 10 years being a financial journalist. What was I doing before that? I'm not even going to go into that one. But you were even at Harvard in the USA. How was that?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's a great institution, you know, great tradition and incredible learning environment. I had lots of fun there.
Yeah. So when you decided then that Nedbank was the place I wanted to go to, why?
I loved the values of the organization. And I mean, I've always been someone who gets drawn to places I go and work at or things I work with. I'm always drawn by people. And I was very impressed with the quality of leadership at the time that Nedbank made overtures to me and approached me to come and join them as an executive. I was a big fan of the leadership. I still am of the leadership of the bank. Mm. And that was the biggest thing that attracted to me.
Yeah.
That and a brand that's been around forever.
Yeah. I mean, you were a former group marketing director then at Barloworld before joining. That was back in January of 2010. Seems like ages ago, right? I mean, you've done a lot in that time.
It does feel like a lifetime ago. It doesn't feel like 10 years at all. It just goes to show you, you know, in the life of a person and a country, what 10 years is. A lot can happen.
Mm. So let's unpack perhaps your money journey. I mean, one could possibly, I think after 10 years at Nedbank, one can call you a banker of sorts. Would you say you're smart with money?
I've got a love-hate relationship with money. I love the things I love, and I indulge myself on the things I love. And then often I will reflect on it and punish myself psychologically. but as a good banker, I'm always mindful of using money productively. Mm. And also the way I grew up in a very thrifty environment. So I'm always mindful of keeping something for a rainy day.
Yeah.
So that's what I describe as my love-hate relationship with money.
Yeah, let's perhaps, if you'd allow us to perhaps talk about the thrifty nature under which you were brought up to make you maybe understand money better. Where exactly would you remember your first memory being with, you know, your interaction with money, if you want to call it that?
Do you know, I remember vividly, my father used to work at a motor assembly factory down in Port Elizabeth. And the one day, I think I was 8 or something, he whisked me over his shoulder and he took me on an off day. I think he'd cut his hand. So he was off sick, but he wanted to visit his friends.
Mm.
So he took me to the motor assembly line, and great camaraderie there. There were all his mates there and guys he worked with. And these are proper blue collar workers who worked at an assembly plant, to go and show them his son, to show me off, as it were. And you know, this incredibly hard working blue collar man embraced me and welcomed me onto the assembly line. And a byproduct of that was that I was given spare cash.
Oh, wow.
All along, as a kid, yeah, Handwana, it's good to have you here. And I'll get the odd rent and the odd this and that.
Yeah.
And I walked out of that factory with pockets full of money, actually. So that was my first recollection of money physically.
How did you spend it, though? I mean, did your father just allow you to spend it sort of in any way? Was there direction, maybe? Anything of that sort? Or was it just a case of,
I'm running? Went straight to my mom. My mom took every cent.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My mom was like, I suffer younger than my daughter. So everything. Yeah. So it went straight to my mom.
Does that sort of...
And I have no doubt that my mom would have deployed it productively.
No, of course, yes. I mean, you know, anybody could probably attest to that, even in our own lives. You know, I can pretty much say much of the same at this time. You know, you speak about the thriftiness of being raised, or, you know, the kind of life you sort of grew up under as well, then, with regards to it being thrifty, quite having to look around for maybe the odd deal or two as well. That, what were the lessons perhaps learned at the time? What was it that moved the way you, or shaped the way you used money at the time?
Yeah, you know, I kind of you know, you wake up later and, I mean, I grew up very humbly, very, very modestly, what I could describe as a poor community. But in a demographic sense, I never realized that I was poor, actually.
Mm.
You know, I grew up with a community and a family and people and friends whose lives were rich and full of happiness and joy and camaraderie. And why I'm saying that is that it speaks to money, because actually on reflection, there wasn't a lot of the physical money stuff floating around at the time. But the camaraderie of the community and the family that I grew up in and the pure happiness that I grew up under more than made up for the fact that there was very little money going around. And it speaks to the values that guide one's attitude to money. Because if you're happy first and foremost, money becomes an enabler. It doesn't become the thing in and of itself. And that's kind of my earliest relationship with money and how I relate to how I grew up and my attitude to money early on. It was be happy first as a person, surround yourself with happiness.
Yeah.
And if money lubricates those happy experiences, then fantastic.
Do you think that's pretty much the same sentiment now? I mean, not just, look, the, you know, our surroundings are certainly different, right? Johannesburg and Joburg is certainly a different allure completely. You know, but do you think that those sentiments around maintaining happiness beyond finances is an element that is alive in some way or other?
Without a doubt in my life, you know, every single attitude I have, it's, you know, I'm a simple guy. You know, I grew up in New Brighton in Port Elizabeth. People generally are happy there. And I come from a happy-go-lucky family.
Mm.
And my attitude first is, just be chuffed with your station in life and the person you are and the kind of person that you want to be.
Hmm.
Money, to the extent that it is available, can enhance those experiences. I still keep a very close circle of friends, some of which are people I grew up with,
yeah.
Others being people I picked up along the way. I picked up the odd scoundrel as friend.
So is that me? Are you naming me as the scoundrel, Kiko?
I didn't want to do it on national radio.
But yeah, so keeping that tight circle matters, right? It changes.
That circle and money can then create experiences around that. If it becomes the thing, then it spoils relationships. Because there's always going to be a guy or a girl who's got more of the stuff than you.
Yeah.
You know? And if your relationship is defined by the stuff, then you're never going to have a proper relationship.
Sure. I suppose one thing that I've always looked at when it comes to money is just whether it changes relationships, you know, and whether the people you've, you know, as you noted, you still keep a group of friends that you grew up with, for example. Do you find that it's changed the way you guys relate? You know, you both understand each other and your services, not your services, but basically the way you relate to each other. Is it entirely different?
It can test relationships. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur in my previous life, and I still am outside of my day-to-day job. And part of that was having relationships with business partners where you start off as friends, and that friendship gets tested by the money. But ultimately, it's about the strength of character amongst all of you, not just in the individual, but amongst all of you as a friend, as a friendship, that goes back to the basic tenets of what defines that friendship. And if that friendship is built on solid values, then irrespective of the tensions that inevitably you would have around money, you're able to get around those hurdles around tests to the friendship pretty quickly if the values of the relationship are solid. So if I look back on my personal experiences, I mean, we're tested as business partners and as mates, but our friendship remains rock solid to this day. In fact, if anything, it probably emerged even stronger after the tests that came with inevitably with money. And that's where this relationship stands even up to this day.
So important to get that relationship right as well. Make Money Monday's guest, Kiko Thomas, joining us on the line, Managing Executive of Retail and Business Banking at Nedbank. We're going to continue this Make Money Monday's discussion right after this, Kiko. So do stay tuned. We'll be back right after this one.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Make Money Mondays is with Kiko Thomas this evening, Managing Executive of Retail and Business Banking at Nedbank. Kiko, thank you again for the time. So before this, we were really just talking about the values it's perhaps created within friends, within, you know, those relationships that it's been so, so significant and important. But we're done with all the sobby stuff. Now we're going to get to the real fun stuff, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
We won't talk about, you know, which bank account it was, but your first bank account. At what age was that?
It was at the, I was about 13 or 14, and it's easy. It was NBS. It's part of NetBank. So it was NetBank.
Obviously. Oh, so fitting, isn't it? Oh, just so fitting. And I mean...
And that's true.
True. So, I mean, the joy, though, all right, having that plastic in your hand to say, you know, you feel sort of enriched or perhaps, you know, that it's a coming of age almost, isn't it?
It's a big ritual owning a bank account, you know. When you get that piece of plastic with your name engraved on it, it's an awakening of sorts. You know, people talk of financial freedom and what it means. In my mind, the idea of having a bank account and the beginning of a journey to control your own finances, for me, is a great statement of the beginning of financial freedom. Absolutely.
And your first paying job then? I mean, the first time you know, how small though? And I really pick on the small stuff because, yes, the CV is glowing with all of this stuff, but there's stuff that you don't put on the CV. I mean, there's stuff like waitering that I did that I won't necessarily put on the CV, but, you know, I did do that.
I didn't waiter. I did far worse. I used
there's
to
any,
I used
There's something to do- worse?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you. Try working at a lab that tests used lubricants and oil in the middle of Atlantis in the Western Cape. That was my first working job. It was vacation work at university, and I hated it because the place stank. There's nothing like the smell of dirty, gritty oil that comes off trucks and buses it's been used. And you're doing sustainability and viscosity tests on that oil. And that was my job. You have to boil the oil at 400 degrees. So the place was hot and stinky all the time.
So, I mean,
the money was nice.
Well, there's the benefit, right? But I mean, you'd go home probably smelling of all of that as well. Was this a point in time where you perhaps no longer could live at home? You'd have to find another place to sort of stay?
Yeah, so when I was doing this job, I mean, I used to work with these three guys. It was in the middle of, Atlantis, in the middle of Paden Island in Cape Town. So I shared a digs with these guys, a guy called Gary and a guy called Earl, and we all worked at the lab together, and we shared the digs, and they were characters of note. I mean, they're amongst my earliest professional friends, and they remain my friends to this day. Lovely guys. But we all stank.
A shared stink.
And imagine the kinds of things that we couldn't do, especially with members of the fairer sex.
Oh, yeah. Making it a little harder for you, isn't it? What perhaps then? I mean, a little bit earlier on, we spoke about you liking the things you like and, you know, affording yourself those pleasures. What are they? What are those perhaps small Anyana skeletons, if you want to call it that too?
You know, I remember when I arrived in Joburg, I mean, I was this proper Barry from the Eastern Cape who had a deep and undying love for Orlando Pirates. So all I wanted to do was to go mainly, and watch every Orlando Pirates match I could watch.
Is that mainly because there weren't really that many soccer teams from the Eastern Cape? I mean, it's still pretty much the case right now, right? There's hardly any soccer in the Eastern Cape.
There's only one soccer team in the country. That was the real reason.
This is true. So, and that being Orlando Pirates, correct?
The Mighty Bucks.
This is absolutely exactly why we're friends. All right. Love it. So, yes, you came out to Joburg and that's all you wanted to watch?
So I watched football. I love gadgets. Anyone who knows me will tell you that I love gadgets. I think I love audio systems. So I'll spend my money going to watch Pirates all over the place. I spent my money buying audio systems. I have audio gadgets and equipment and accessories that I don't even need for. I still have them up to this day. And then I love music. I absolutely love music again. Unfortunately, this was in the days when, you know, you didn't have to download. You have to buy the hardware, you know. So yes. I spent a lot of my money at a place called CD Warehouse in Rosebank. I probably held up their revenue lines pretty well, and I spent a lot of money there. I still have a massive CD and vinyl collection. Some were built earlier, but, you know, CDs and vinyls that I bought from as early as that time.
Sure. I can actually remember CD warehouse actually as well. And I have quite a CD collection myself, which started, you know, when I was much younger. But it's just weird how things have just evolved and changed. Would you say that is your biggest extravagance now? Perhaps things like music or the like, or is it maybe other things that you've evolved to? I mean, for me right now, really suits are a big thing. But maybe for you, watches, anything of that sort?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of love. I mean, I'm privileged in that in my entrepreneurial spell, one of the businesses that we got to invest in were car dealerships. So, I mean, here I was, you know, a guy who loves cars, owning a dealership that sold BMWs and another one that sold VWs. So that came with the perks of GTIs. So I also have a love for cars, in particular the VW Golf brand and the BMW brand. They remain enduring up to this day. But I also collect, I buy art. I hate saying I collect art. Yeah. I buy art. I've been buying art since university. And I love buying art. And, you know, there's something about kind of art and artists that are close and dear to my heart that just sees me spending money on them. So that's my indulgence. And of course, like most guys, I buy sneakers as well.
Yeah, I've actually recently gotten into the sneaker fest, if you want to call it that. All right, Gogo, very finally, what or how much is enough if there was ever to be such a thing for you?
If it gives you satisfaction and fulfillment emotionally, it's enough. If it starts causing tensions with other people because you perceive that there's too little or too much of it, then certainly if there's too much of it, then it's too much, you know? So if it gives you a sense of personal, deep personal satisfactions and little pleasures, then it's enough.
A message well worth hearing from Gqika Thomas himself. Thank you so much this evening, Gqika, for actually being with us and just joining us for this Make Money Mondays conversation as well. Managing Executive of Retail and Business Banking at Nedbank, Gqika Thomas, joining us this evening as our Make Money Mondays guest.